welcome to this week's episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton, joined by co-host Jim Patton. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good. Adam, how are you doing? Got us another victory. Got ranked this week.
We are 24. Better than we have been. You're right. We had an excellent 62-3 win over Western Carolina, the Catamounts.
Well, we're one win away from being way ranked up there.
It was a pretty incredible game down there on the Plains. Friday night, as most people know, it was announced Nick Marshall was not going to be starting. He's still recovering from a knee injury. So the freshman quarterback, Jeremy Johnson, 201 yards, four touchdowns.
He played well.
Well, unless people were really paying attention, they might not know that the 695-yard record that Auburn set in 1985 against southwestern Louisiana was broken this weekend. Auburn with 712 yards.
A lot of yards.
Did you have that many yards?
I didn't have that many yards in practices for 5 years.
We're going to be getting to our guests. We actually have a little bit of a different show this week. We have a guest that's going to be talking about defending Johnny Manziel. But before I get to there, I have made a promise to my neighbor, Sonia Hornsby, who is working with Frito Night Birmingham to mention their event this Friday, October 18th, from 6 to 11 p.m. at Railroad Park in Birmingham. It's going to be a festival-type event. And, Jim, what it's promoting is awareness of human trafficking. It's a big problem. There are several organizations around Birmingham that this event is aiming to help. There's going to be local vendors, local bands performing, but it's also going to be headlined by Sister Hazel. Many people remember their music. They're going to be in Birmingham at Railroad Park this Friday night. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. You can check out their website, freedomnightbirmingham.com. We've got a great guest, Jim. He spoke at the Over the Mountain Touchdown Club on Sunday night and was probably one of the best speakers we've ever had. He played defensive back under Bear Bryant from 1959 to 1961, coached in high school here in Alabama, and then joined Auburn as its secondary coach under Ralph Jordan in 1966. He then moved across the state back to his alma mater at Alabama in 1970 as the secondary coach. In 1980, he took the head coaching position at UT Chattanooga, and following a stint in the United States Football League and also as a secondary coach at Clemson, he returned to Alabama as a secondary coach and was then eventually promoted to defensive coordinator. And oddly enough, in 1996, he joined Terry Bowden's staff as the Auburn defensive coordinator. And following Bowden's departure, he served five games as Auburn's interim head coach. His name is Bill Oliver, but most people know him as Brother. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. And yourselves?
We're great. We appreciate you being on our show.
My pleasure.
You know, Coach, you... I've been to these Over the Mountain Touchdown Club meetings for several years now, and several people came up to me, and I have to agree with what they said. You were probably one of the best speakers we've ever had. For our listeners, Coach was he brought old game footage from the Alabama's 92 game and then Auburn's game with Tennessee in the SEC championship, and showed us how a defensive coordinator would break it down, and it was very interesting.
Well, you know, the thing we had to do with the progression of things, you know, over time, you know, we've had spread offenses for many, many years back. And, but the spread offenses were strictly, you know, spread them, drop back. And, whether it be empty, no backs, or a back, spread, full wide, and have a back where you can run the draw. And most of them didn't run quarterback draws back then. But what they've done with the spread is, what they've done with it is gone, and they've gone from inserting variations of the split back of the air, versions of I formation, and the pistol, which is more or less that. And the big thing that's happened to me is everything is operating from a deeper position in the backfield where the eyes can work. And so that's the version of what's going on. Now, what you're talking about, when I spoke to you, your group Sunday night in Birmingham there, I spoke trying to beat defense Peyton Manning. And from what I can gather, he's on the verge, reputation-wise, of being the best that's ever been. And to be his age and do what he's doing, it's hard to believe. It really is. But we did some things that a surprise element that Coach Bryant taught me and his coaches years ago, and I took it with me all the way through the years, and we sort of sprung something on him, you know, that he'd never seen before. And his dad, as I told you the other night, that his dad said that Archie said, Peyton said he'd never seen anything like what he was seeing, and he did have a hard time. If the film showed that, they said the big eye doesn't lie, and he had a difficult time. And I said also, if I'd had enough guts to run it for 60 minutes, they might not have scored many points. They wind up beating us 1 point. We didn't make it one first down the second half. I didn't bring that up. But at the same time, defensing him and doing what we did was really absolutely something. And that's what, against him, we put them all on the line of scrimmage, you know, and had we declared what we were going to do. We showed what we were going to do. We wanted him to see it. We wanted him to be nervous. But half of the time, we didn't rush but a minimum of people. And we doubled the skilled people, and that's what it was all about. And but at the end of the day, you know, we fell a point, 1 point short, but we scored 16 points on defense. And so that, you know, doing that, that's something to be said within itself. And we did the same thing as, I don't know if you're going to mention it, Toretta also in 1992.
Coach, of course, Peyton Manning, I believe, is probably – mentally one of the best quarterbacks ever to match his ability. But how would you go about now trying to defend a Johnny Manziel who kind of ad-libs out there and things? What do you tell your lineman about breaking down on him or to try to keep him contained in the pocket? How would you go about that now?
Well, Adam, if you sit there and you decipher, you know, what I said the other night, I would do something different from what anybody. And, you know, the 4-3 defense is a sort of a NCAA defense. You don't have many coverages from it. That's what everybody runs is a four-man front majority of the way. Been that way for years and years. It's simple. A lot of defensive coordinators, they don't know a lot. All the coverages in the world that you can do are – And you take an odd man front, we have a three man front, and you got the ability to defend with eight. Well, you can check against every offensive set something to get the best thing and put you in. But what's happened, the spread has reduced a lot of things you can do because there's so many things that they're doing. And, I'm not going to go through all that. But at the same time, I just feel like that, Johnny Manziel, but he's the best I've ever seen. I've never seen a guy with 360 degrees of eyesight, not in my lifetime, and can run. And look what he did last weekend. He accelerated. He knocked one of the players out for the opposing team with his left thigh. But at the same time, if it were me, I would have something a little unorthodox, unconventional, and it would be where I'd have five linebackers up front and six defensive backs. Now, some of the linebackers could be hybrid, different size type people. You can stand them all up. You do whatever you want. You put some of them down. I'd have to make that decision after I'd looked at all the things you're going to do. You got about four or five things that you would do from it. But the thing that you would be doing, as opposed to taking four big linemen that can chase it and chase it and chase it, and he can redirect, you can't catch it. But at least give yourself a better chance speed-wise with some linebackers, and then with six defensive backs, and two of the defensive backs you would have be semi-linebackers, too, that can stop the run. And you got to give up something to stop something. They hadn't made a defense. There's not a defense that's good for everything 100%. Something has got a strength and something's got a weakness to it. So, point being made, if I had to do something that I would do special, this would be special. I'd also have it where my big boys could play down, putting their hand on the ground, as Pat Dye says, put the fingers in the dirt, you know. But that game that they play is sandlot football. You say, well, they can run it. That's where the guy is in a deep position, taking the ball. A back leads through. It's nothing but a high formation with a tailback running the ball, with a back leading through, with Magzell running the football. He's a tailback. He's also the chunker. So the big thing is, hey, take a chance. Go to the big boys. Go back, take a chance. Sort of like what you saw on film the other night, Adam, when we played Toretta.
Coach, this is Jim Patton. Well, one of the things, I guess I'm a little old school, that I'm not crazy about rule-wise, but and I know that.
Excuse me, you're not crazy about what?
Something I'm not crazy about rule-wise they have now is allowing all these signals to come in after the people reach the line of scrimmage and everything. How do you feel about that?
You're saying
where they come to the line of scrimmage and then they signal the quarterback from the sideline of what play to run after they're there, and you know, even hold up signs and that kind of thing.
The signs have decreased. The signs have decreased. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
No, that's what I'm just wondering what your feelings are on that whole concept of playing football with these signals after you get to the line of scrimmage and everything.
Well, it's their prerogative to do what they want to do. As I said the other night, speaking for Adam was, and they got 11, you got 11. It's your 11 to stop them. They're 11 to put something together. I did stuff in high school at Gunnelsville High School when I first started. We'd break out of the huddle and throw fast huddle thing, and we'd put everybody to the right and have nobody to the left. We'd sprint out of there and bam, gone. We'd have them all out. We'd have the other side of the line of scrimmage sitting over there looking at what we're sitting over there doing over on the other side of the line of scrimmage. We snapped the ball. We had people didn't have anybody to block. And it was a surprise element. This, we're talking about 1966, 67 when I started coaching high school at Gunnsville High School. But at the same time, all this stuff, it's just imagination, you know, and the thing that people have done offensively, what it all boils down to, the fast pace has made people reduce the playbook, what they've got defensively. And I think this is what Nick Saban complains about. Hey, I've coached with coaches. They were so concerned about how elaborate and pretty the playbook was going to be. And I've seen Steve Spurrier's offensive playbook. I've got one. It's written in pen. And all this stuff they've got now. And it is special the way it looks now. And it's simple to do it with high-tech-wise. But I promise you, the big thing is, defensively, the worst thing that all this stuff does, this fast pace and what have you, it reduces your defense. All this stuff that used to be done, well, you can throw half, two-thirds of that stuff, throw it in a trash can. And that's what it's done. And it sort of said, well, we don't need all this. It's their prerogative to run what they want to run, and it's your job to stop it, point blank. Now, that's my opinion.
Well, there have been a few rule changes that kind of make it a little easier on them, too, I think, as far as, you know, how long you can beat on the receiver and all that kind of thing. Would you agree with that, that it's gotten easier for offenses now with the rule changes?
Well, in college, it's been the same. The rules have not changed, really. Pro football, you know, you have the five-yard rule. In college, you don't. So we'll stop that right there. So if, case closed. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, all right? In college football, you've got much more freedom to do certain things. It's just a question how you package everything. And as I explained to you all the other night, and I wanted to try to demonstrate it, and I left a lot of things out. I really did, you know, the little things. Didn't have long to, enough to explain everything. But number one is if a receiver and the defender have equal speed, and the defender's navel is pointing toward him, what are you going to do to help this guy? Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. But what are you going to do to help the defender? Excuse me, I had my cell phone ringing. I'm sorry, I didn't know I had it on. What are you going to do to help that defender with his navel pointing with his back toward the back end zone line? What are you going to do to try to help him? First of all, you got to use some common sense. So, number one, in college ball, you can use about three or four techniques up there in the press technique. And this is when you got him by yourself. Got him by yourself. Okay? I use basically three. All right? You got him by himself, but I'm going to use a high percentage thing to be sound from getting my team beat. You say, well, what is that? I'm going to come out of there with a quick shuffle. And somewhere along the line, if the receiver goes deep, I want to get to a position I can turn and become the receiver. I don't want to run on the inside butt cheek and my back is to everything. I don't know. They're doing what they do in the NFL with a five-yard rule in college ball. It just blows my mind. And so at least if he runs a deep out cut or something, let him have it. Tee it up, go again. Let him throw another one. It's the hardest thing in the world to throw. So the inside butt cheek, when you're running with him, that means that the defender, he's there, then his eyes are looking at the receiver, but he doesn't know where the ball is. Now, if he uses a quick off, that means bump, 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 few steps quick off, that means he can turn and run and become the receiver and be on the lead point and see the ball and try to catch it himself as opposed to break it up or whatever. I just don't understand it. It's mind-boggling to me. Then, as we talked about the other night, Adam, we talked about package now, the things where you can do things with the safety over the top and let you play man-to-man. And now take you packages of multiple coverages now and combine it. It puts the receiver in an inferior position, but then you got other areas, you know, that you got to take care of, certainly.
Coach, as you know, this is an Auburn radio show, and we certainly don't want any sugarcoating here. So we want your honest opinion. What should Auburn fans expect from the game this coming weekend in College Station?
I tell you what, I think Coach Malzahn is really, I think Gus has done a great job. He's done a good job of, and as you well know, when I went back to Alabama in 1990, I got Gene Stallings to hire Ellis. I knew Ellis and Coach Stallings, Gene didn't know a lot of people maybe to hire and fill the staff, so I got him to hire him, but I knew him because we'd been places and done things with some friends, recruiting, what have you. So we hired him and then got him on the staff. So he's experienced some things, you know, there that, at Southern Mississippi place and maybe had, but at the same time, he's smart and he's done a good job. And he still made to hit the lottery coming to Auburn. But at the same time, I think in answering your question, I think they stand a darn good chance of beating them. Now you take Manziel, you got your hands full. I don't care what you do. Whether I put five linebackers, six defense back, I don't care. Or you put 11 defensive backs, you cook bigger things, you can't find two good cover corners. That's the problem too. But if you can do that, then you've got a luxury. But in answering your question, I think there's some things that Auburn can do to give them problems. Number one, they can run the football. Offensive line has done a great job. I think Gus gives people problems. He'll figure out some things. You take when Alabama won the national championship, he gave them some problems. And I think there's an expression that Nick Saban used is, we knew they were going to give us some shit. And by gosh, that's what's going to happen in that ball game against Texas A&M. And A&M is not a good defensive football team. They are a bad, bad. They're not near as good as Auburn. They're really not. And Auburn surrendered, you know, a lot of yardage and everything, but they denied, you know, the red zone. And that's a compliment to them. And Ellis has done a good job in that respect with his staff. And then offensively, I guarantee you, the best thing Gus has done is bring that freshman on, Johnson, and have him ready to go just in case. And he will have some places to insert him because he's got ability to do certain things. And of course, Marshall is, he is a talented guy. I don't like to play against people like that. He's got a great arm. He's got to zero it in. And he's not there yet. We know that. But, you know, midseason, a lot of things can happen. And I think he can take now both of these guys and do some things, you know. And you say, well, like Cam Newton, when he was there, when Auburn it sort of filtered everything around a little bit and get two backs in the backfield with one in motion coming from outside and one back there. And all of a sudden he snaps it with Cam Newton there. They have two backs leading through. Look what he did to win the ball game against Ole Miss. He's bound to turn. We're going to run the guy that can run, the running back. It's going to be the quarterback. And then the other backs are going to be, you know, second string and third string and fourth string. Now, this ball game, wait and see. We don't know what it's going to be yet, but I guarantee you it'll be something where he can find some places, you know, to utilize what he's seeing on defense. Don't tell you, Ole Miss. And they've got some injuries on defense, but they got some talented people on defense. They really do. But I think it'll be a great contest, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Coach, I personally, this is Jim Patton again, I think Auburn's defensive line, for a two-deep defensive line, and they may not stack up with Manziel real well, but for a two-deep defensive line, they're about as good as anybody in the country, two-deep. Would you agree with that or not?
Some people have a philosophy that we're going to play the best we got. But what people are doing offensively, you know, if you play the best you got, you know, they're going to give out it. Why with all this stuff, you know, it's been run pretty fast-paced. And it's not sometimes as fast-paced as you would think. But when you make a decision, I think they got enough people at Auburn really and truly to play too deep. They got more people than they've had in a long, long, they got some young guys. And, when you all of a sudden you recruit some young guys in there, And that's the reason you recruited them, because you felt like they were quality people. Outside people don't realize that till they get there. They realize now they're pretty good, and that's what they're trying to do. And they keep them fresh, and they want to be full speed at all times. Now, sometimes you got a D-line coach who says, I'm going to substitute them regardless of the talent. Well, that holds true here or not, I don't know. I can't answer that. I'm not there. But I do know this. It is a compliment to what they've done thus far this year. And let me say this, especially that offensive line has done a great job. They really have. My hat's off to them.
Coach, we've been pretty serious so far in this show. Let's switch gears real quick. You told us a funny story. I think I'd like you to share with our listeners about your first meeting with the defensive players when you took the job at Auburn, and maybe you start even a little bit before that, if you don't mind, when you found out that you were coming to Auburn.
Well, I think I know what you're referring to, but, my playing at Alabama and very fortunate to get a scholarship to go there, and leaving and not knowing what I was going to do. My high school coach, I went to work for him. My dad raised cattle. That's what I was going to do. My high school coach came by and said, hey, come by and I got an opening. I go to work for him. So I go to work for him. Then I go to Gunnersville High School. And I'm the head coach there, right off the bat, right out of college. And anyhow, it's during the early part of January and, I say January, December, January, whatever. And my wife's in the kitchen, and she sticks her head out of the kitchen there and says, Paul. I said, who is it? She says, Coach Jerry. Yeah, uh-huh. She said, I'm serious. It's Coach Jerry? Uh-huh, yeah. Well, finally she said, it is Coach Jerry. So anyhow, he asked me to meet him in Gadsden, and interested in hiring me. I said, my gosh, me take it? You kidding me? Coaching high school ball? Man, I was so appreciative of it, and that's where I got my start. And I will always be appreciative. He was good to me and my family. He really was. And we had a great relationship and all the everything, and I learned a lot from it. And super person. And then... Oh, gosh. Adam, where were we that night? Now with the next one?
I wanted to hear the story again about...
I got it. I remember that.
When you came back to Auburn.
So now, all through the year, that was the beginning of me coaching. And, of course, me going to Auburn and playing at Alabama and everything, my Alabama ties and background. And people didn't care, as young as I was. First, right out of college, they could care less. They said, well, we don't know nothing. So anyhow, so wound up, I go there, stay by you. So come back to Alabama and everything, and then stay there 9 years with Coach Bryant after being at Auburn 5 years, and then here and there, and to Alabama. And after being back at Alabama 6 years, and all of a sudden, there was certain reason that I did what I did. And there's no need in going into all that, but I had my reasons for leaving. And I left. I really did. I resigned. And where I was going to go, I coached another year, I had my quota in. But it just so happened that Terry Biden hired me. And when I got there, it was a lot of unrest and what have you, and the players, certainly they didn't understand a lot of things. And so anyhow, I'll never forget Terry Biden coming down the hallway, and they're going to have a press conference, me coming in there, and I'm looking up, and there's TV trucks coming around. What in the heck is all this stuff? To me, it was so unnecessary, it's unbelievable. And I just want to coach some football, and that's about it, go to work. So anyhow, he said, you got to meet Tequila Spike. Ryan Taylor, and a couple of guys, reason they talked to him. Well, am I headed in the right direction, Adam?
I think we're on the same story here.
Okie dokie. So anyhow, he said they, you know, wondering what in the world's going on, what's been done, why, and everything. I said, he said, need to meet with me. Well, where can we meet? Meet in the coach's office and where the coaches meet. So we got a big old mahogany table there on the, and Tequila Spikes and Ryan Taylor, they're sitting over there. So I kick it off by talking about change and everything. You know, I think that, you know, we're changing. You know, this thing is really tough on y'all. I understand that. And I'm trying to explain all this to them, and they say, you know, I think we can do some things and show you some things that maybe you've never done before, experienced before, and take it. And with your abilities and everything, you're going to go to the next level. It can be a head start thing and show you some things, you know, with banjo and different type coverages and, you know, mixed in with linebackers and secondary in the front and everything. After about 20 minutes, I said, finally, I said, well, I'm doing all the talking. You don't need to ask me a question or anything. Tequila Spikes looked right dead at me, and he said, yes, sir. He's got about an 18-inch, 19-inch neck sitting up there looking at me. Good-looking, big old raw bone rack. He said, yes, sir. He says, I got a question. He says, when you going to get you a new watch? I had a big old red elephant on my left arm on the watch. He said, hey, and believe it or not, all three of us just fell out laughing. And from that time on, I'm going to tell you something. He and I, we've got a great relationship. He's a great guy.
Coach, we really appreciate this. It's Jim Patton again, you being our guest. And one thing I want to say, we're about to wrap it up, but I've always thought of, you are a great defensive coordinator, recognized around the United States, have been for years. But I've always thought a great defensive coordinator could be a great offensive coordinator.
You're exactly right.
You know what they're scared of.
Jim, you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I tell you what. Sue and I had, you know, we didn't have any money. What little dining room tables we had, once we'd get one and move one to another area of the house, you know, and that gave me a room to where I'd stay up till 3:30 in the morning in high school drawing offensive stuff. And you back then, you had the carbon copy thing with the ballpoint pen, you know, you had to press. And that old table we had for years and years had X's and O's all over it from drawing offensive stuff. That was my forte, but Coach Jordan needed a defensive backfield coach. He'd moved Bobby Freeman to offense, and so was Pete, and Bobby had been coaching defensive backs, and that's the way I got started.
I don't believe people realize kind of how it's a war, even in your own college, between the offense and the defense. I've always thought there ought to be more kind of interchange of information of, hey, here's what really scares defenses, but I've really never seen it work that way, but I think you would be a great offensive coordinator.
Well, and I really mean this. That was really my forte, but I had to start somewhere, and I knew I had to go with what, you know, was presented to me. And Coach Bryant at one time, after I went back with him, he moved because he took Mal and put him with the offense and me with the defense, you know. And Mal had coached the defensive backs. But I got to tell you something funny. You got time?
Yes, sir. We sure do.
Speaking of Mal, bless his heart, I'll tell you, very good friend. We turkey hunted, we dove hunted, we quail hunted, and Mal and I did a lot of things together. And great guy. I promise you, anyhow, when I got there in 1971, Mal had gone to coaching the quarterbacks and offense, and I'm new defensive backfield coach. Ken Donahue's a defensive coordinator. So anyhow, we had gone to the wishbone and all this stuff. So I'm not going to go into all of that because that's a good story too. But at the same time, we, after practicing in spring practice and everything, you know, and scrimmaging in the stadium, you know, find your spot, warm up, and go with it. And we didn't warm up like we do now, you know, wad up. Coach Bryant, I never forget, said, how long the new strength coach we had when, when they started, how long you got? He said, about 20 minutes. He said, you got five. That was 20 minutes lining up, stretching and all this stuff. I've been truthful. So find your spot and warm up. You know how now. You win just as many ball games doing whatever you want to. So finally, we get through practice and everything. We got to go play Southern Cal. Alabama on 6-5, 6-6, back to back. Things ain't very pleasant. I'm telling you. They're not pleasant when I got there after I left off. So get there. We go to West Coast to play Southern Cal. They're preseason number one pick. Well, Mal and I leave. We go down the ramp over at the Coliseum at Southern Cal out there. And we come down the ramp, go on the field, and we sit there talking. About that time, these quarterbacks come on down. They're coming at the centers. We got five quarterbacks, five centers in, and they're snapping the ball. Center quarterback exchange, and we're sitting there talking. And I said, Maya, I said, where'd you warm up on the field? Nobody had told me. Everybody's got a designated area. I said, where'd you line up with the defensive backs? You know, before I got here, where'd y'all warm up? What section of field? He said, well, I can't really remember because I remember about that time the centers and quarterbacks, they started exchanging the snaps, you know, And about that time, great big old lineman for Southern Cal, they came walking down that concrete ramp. You could hear those cleats hitting that concrete. Look at the Trojans coming down through there. Man, they came through the gate, about that time, the quarterbacks, the centers and quarterbacks, they fumbled the next four or five exchanges. They fumbled the next 4 or 5 miles out of the trap and went up and down about three times. I said, Mal, I'm sorry. I'll see you later. I got to go find me a spot to warm up.
Coach, that's some good stuff. We're going to have to run. We are honored to have you on our show. We really are.
Yes, Coach. Thank you very much.
It's always good to be on with people like y'all. You all of what it's all about. I really mean that.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. For all the Auburn fans traveling to College Station this weekend, safe travels. 24th-ranked Auburn Tigers taking on the 7th-ranked Texas.
I think that'd be fine.
I think they will. If you're not making the game, it's 2:30 game on CBS.
Uh-huh.
I just want to wish all of our listeners War Eagle. And once again, thanks to Coach Brother Oliver.
Well, let me just say this. I'm a very unusual person, and I've been around a lot of places and been on both sides and everything, and certainly you know where your roots were, where you started, and you got to be very appreciative for that, but I'm very appreciative for everything, including, as I said a while ago, what Coach Jordan did for me. My family, let me tell you something, my wife's sitting here looking right dead at me right now. If I gave this phone to her, you wouldn't believe what she would express to you.
Well, we'll get her on sometime, Coach. We sure will. That'll be a great show.
That'd be great.
Yes, sir.
Coach, thank you for joining us.
Okie dokie.